Have you ever had one of those moments where you realize you don't have to do it anymore? Where something has been a burden and a task and it's been heavy and then all of a sudden it's gone. Have you ever had one of those experiences? I'm sure you have. I was thinking about this, and one thing I remember is when my kids were really young, my father and mother lived in Ottawa, just outside of it. My mother still does. And so every time we would go and visit them in the summer, we'd be packing up all kinds of stuff. I had this minivan that I hated, absolutely hated, and I would stuff it full of diapers and a playpen and one of those pack and play things, and it'd be like, I guess that's the same thing, but it seemed like so much stuff, and then there would be like clothes and like toys, and it would be so full, a minivan, you couldn't even contain it all. And somehow the three kids barely fit in the minivan. And I remember then one year we finally got ready to pack up and I realized there's no pack and play, there's no diapers, and there's space back here. And it was such a relief. Some of you parents are like, there's a day like that that comes? Yeah, there is. Maybe some of you can think about a time or a situation you've been in where maybe there was a relationship, there was a lot of work, and maybe it wasn't even a great relationship, and you were always walking on eggshells, and you were always trying to do things, and you were always nervous, and you felt anxious. And then that relationship was over. Whether it was a boss, a coworker, a friend, a lover, whatever it might have been, and you suddenly, when it was over, you suddenly, it's done. All that work is gone, it's behind me. Maybe you've had an addiction where you were working so hard just to keep it a secret. And it was a problem. The problem created more problems. And every time you tried to contain it, it got bigger. And every time you tried to do something about it, it got worse. And what would you turn to make it go away and to cope with the problems? It. And it caused more problems. And so you did it. And then it caused more problems. Maybe you found freedom from that. And you know the difference now. What is the thing that comes to your mind when I say it's gone and there's relief now? Each of us can think of moments and times and experiences where that's happened. And I want you to have that sense. I want you to know what that feeling is like. Because sometimes when we're here in the book of Hebrews now, it feels like all this stuff that we can't relate to. It feels like stuff that's distant from us. When we talk about sacrifices and priests, and we talk about Moses and laws and covenant, it's not language we use every day. So I want you to be thinking about something you're used to. That sense of relief when work is done and you don't have to do it anymore. And as we come now into Hebrews chapter 9 and 10, that's the feeling, that's the experience that the author of Hebrews wants his listeners to understand and appreciate has happened for them. They are used to the work, they're used to the religion, they're used to the effort. And it's done now. And so as we turn to this now, let's hear very clearly what is being said to us. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, it begins with this. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. Then it says this on the next slide. This whole old system is an illustration pointing to the present time. For the gifts and sacrifices that the priests offer are not able to cleanse the consciences of the people who bring them. For that old system deals only with food and drink and various cleansing ceremonies, physical regulations that were in effect only until a better system could be established. See, what the author is saying is it was all inadequate. It was a lot of work, it was a lot of effort, and it was worth nothing. All it did was make the sense of cleansing happened, but it never really freed you. It never really dealt with the problem that you had. It never made it go away. All of it, all the gifts and sacrifices the priests were offering, that all the people were bringing, it, all that it cost them, all of that only dealt with this cleansing on the outside, physical regulations. And it was all anticipating a day when something better would come. When it wouldn't just be a physical cleansing they would experience, but it would be something that dealt with their conscience. The thing that keeps them awake at night. The thing that wakes you up in the night. The thing that burdens you when you get up in the morning and makes you not want to get out of bed because you don't want to have to deal with it. the problems that you face, the things that you're trying to deal with, the things you're trying to cope with in your life, the sin, the brokenness of your experience in the world around us, all of that can't be dealt with by killing animals. Some of you are like, yeah, I never really got the whole point of killing animals in the first place. What is it with sacrifices? It doesn't make sense to me. I get it, okay? Like, this is part of what I want you to understand. This is weird for us. We're not used to killing animals on an everyday basis unless you're a farmer or something like that. But, like, this was an experience for them that reminded them that sin and the problems in their world caused death. There was a consequences for the things that we do wrong, and it causes pain and suffering and death. But also the blood was a way of reminding them that there was life that covered them because of God's grace. They needed Him. They needed to turn to Him. They needed to rely on God because they couldn't do it themselves. And it required the gracious gift of a sacrifice that made it better. But it was never enough because it only dealt with the physical world. It only dealt with the physical thing. It never really resolved the brokenness on the inside. The soul, the pain, the suffering. And it resulted in more. Because the animal had to die. And it was all a mess. And maybe you feel that mess. Maybe you feel that pain of death. The stench of it all. And as the Hebrews are listening to this, and as they're considering their old ways, the ways that they're familiar with, the author of Hebrews is saying to them, it was all awful, and it never really accomplished anything for you. It was just a shadow pointing to something better, and something better has come. Let's look at these next verses here. I want to just make sure you've got this sense. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year after year after year after year after year after year. I think I said too many. Nope, because they did it for thousands of years. And so every year, those sacrifices would happen. But it was not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. And they kept doing it, and doing it, and doing it, and doing it anyway. And it never amounted to anything. It never dealt with the problem. Maybe you have been trying to deal with that problem inside of you. Maybe you have been trying to deal with that sin. Maybe you're just looking at the world around you and you're like, how in the world did the world get to this place? How in the world can the world change? This is too big a problem. How can it be dealt with? It's just too much. Well, it's not going to be by the blood of bulls and goats. I'll tell you that. It's not going to be done by just doing something physical. It's got to be something that transforms the inside of us, that begins to ripple out throughout all of creation with a power that is greater than you or I have, but than any physical thing could ever be. What is that? How could it possibly be? Because every year, even when we try to do this thing, it only reminds us how bad we are, how broken we are, how inadequate we are. This whole system that was put in place, it just reminded us that we weren't good enough. Maybe every time you come to church, every time you put money in the offering plate, maybe every time you do that thing that tries to help you feel better and cope, you realize it just makes it worse. Or it just reminds you of what you've done wrong. Have you ever done that where you realize that every time you make the effort, it's simply reinforcing how bad you are, how inadequate you are, and it's defeating. It's this awful weight, this burden, and it can never be removed. That stain that's on the inside that you can't scrub away clean, that sense of shame and guilt and brokenness, the pain. Is there ever an end to it? And then the author of Hebrews says, yes, it's Jesus. And you know, that weight and the burden that you feel, the experience of making all this effort and investing all this energy and time and money and sacrificing has amounted to nothing, and yet, now, there's Jesus. and it changes everything. Everything changes because of Jesus. Like, this is not a small thing. Let's look at these words here now in Hebrews. So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. There are all these good things that have come. You remember, as we've gone through Hebrews, we've talked about how Jesus is greater than the angels. All the messages of hope that you hear in the world from celebrity figures, none of that. All that pales in comparison to the message of Christ. Jesus is the greatest human being that has ever lived. Jesus is greater than Moses. Jesus is the greatest high priest who ever existed, the perfect high priest. And now, here in this moment, it all culminates together, and the author of Hebrews is summing it all up and saying, Jesus is greater than it all, and he's brought good things to everyone. So Christ now has become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven. So not only is he a great high priest, he's going into a greater tabernacle. He's actually going into the presence of God in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of the created world, with his own blood. So not only is he the greater high priest in the greater tabernacle, he's bringing a greater sacrifice with his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves. He entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever. Done. All that work, all that effort, all that energy is done. You ever gone to a car wash and you come out the other side and there's a mud puddle? That's what all these sacrifices were like. You can only get so clean and it's not good enough, and the next thing you know, there's another mud puddle. Every effort that we make, there's another mud puddle on the other side. And there's no getting free from the garbage inside. But now Christ comes. And it's no longer necessary for another sacrifice at all. Like, there's a reason why we don't kill sheep here on Sunday morning. And we don't then take the blood and sprinkle it on all of you. Wouldn't that be a fun way to welcome a new guest? Like, you'd come once and never come back, and then we'd shut down the building and I'd go on unemployment. There's a reason we don't do that. And it's not just because it's weird and it's a cultural thing we don't understand. It's because it's not necessary anymore. What Christ has done ends it. It's over. It's not needed. Passé. Irrelevant. Gone. Done with. I have a thesaurus at home. Do you? Actually, it's an app on my phone. What Christ has done has changed everything. This is not a small thing. This is big. This is huge. There is no longer a need for the sacrifices to happen. And guess what? They weren't any good anyway. But now Jesus has done it in the most perfect way possible, in the most perfect place possible, with the sacrifice that is greater than any sacrifice ever could be, and it ends it. It's over. It's done with. Like, you think about those old washing boards. Like, does anybody use those anymore? No hands? Nobody? Your mom does? Oh my gosh, has she heard of a washing machine? Like, there's this new invention, it's kind of recent, maybe in the past 80 years, I don't know. Only for certain things. Well, listen, there's a washing machine that makes it a whole lot easier. And there is something that has happened, something that has been done, that makes the old washing board irrelevant. And all the work and all the effort is just not necessary anymore. And you know, even when we get something finally clean, there's always a mud puddle on the other side. I know that because I have a son. No matter how many times I wash his pants, they're covered in mud. So I don't know why I wash his pants. And in your life, there's always a mud puddle on the other side. But when Jesus comes, there's a cleansing forever. Like, it's done. It's dealt with. And we don't have to keep going back, wondering if we're good enough, wondering if our effort and our work is going to change anything in our lives, because it's not about us anymore. We don't have to bring a sacrifice. We don't have to do the thing. We don't have to somehow try and
catch God's attention, stay good enough for Him to love us. We don't have to somehow be good enough anymore because we aren't in the first place. We never could be. Good news, Jesus is. And when we're in Him, it changes everything. Everything. Look at this next verse. Something is changing here. It's not just the sacrificial system. It's not just their worship services. It's not just what they do for cleansing. Something bigger is happening. It says here, in fact, according to the law of Moses, nearly everything was purified with blood, for without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So that's how they cleanse things. But then it also says this in the context of this. There's something else that's going on. See, there's a blood that's for a sacrificial cleansing, but then there's also a new language of blood that's happening. So there's two things that could be really confusing, because, again, we're not used to, like, sacrificing animals. But there's this blood for cleansing, but then there's a blood for a covenant. Now, what does that mean? Listen to what it says. That is why even the first covenant was put into effect with the blood of an animal. So there's not only a way of getting clean in the old system that uses blood, but there's a way of starting a new relationship that's done by blood. Now, I know it sounds weird. We're not used to sacrifices. But have you ever had a barbecue to celebrate something? None of you? Like, none of you have ever had, like, a barbecue when there was, like, a wedding announcement or something? Like, none of you have had a barbecue when there was, like, a new baby born? Okay. Have any of you ever had a barbecue to celebrate something in your life? Okay. So you know what it's like to kill an animal to start something new. Do I have to put all the pieces together? Can I get a little help here? See, we're not used to it in terms of a sacrifice, but we know the significance of this in a very different way. We know that when big things happen, we celebrate with a steak dinner, right? And when Jesus comes on the scene, His blood not only makes us clean, but it starts a whole new relationship with God. A whole new way of life. That's a covenant. That's all that word means. It's like a new relationship, a new contract, a new way that we're going to relate to each other. And so this whole new way of life comes about because of Jesus. And it's put into effect, not with the blood of an animal, but the blood of Jesus Christ, the most perfect sacrifice there ever was. Something new is happening. Something good is happening. Let's look at the next verse. For Christ said, "You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings or burnt offerings." He's speaking to the Father as He comes. You didn't want any of that. "Nor were you pleased with them, though they were required by the law of Moses." Then He said, "Look, that wasn't your will, but I have come to do your will." He cancels the first covenant in order to put the second into effect. Now that word is important. He cancels the first covenant. Now there are a lot of rules and regulations. There is a lot of history there for the people in the Jewish nation. There's a lot going on here, and it's canceled. Like, what good would it do if I wrote you a check for $1 million and then across the front of it wrote void? Wouldn't you like a check for $1 million? Not if it's void. And there is nothing, there's no value to the old system anymore because the word void has been written over it. The old system, the old way, the old covenant is done. It's canceled. It's been superseded by something greater, something better, something gooder. Okay, I should have read my thesaurus a little longer. There is something far, far, far greater than the old way. And the old system that you have in your life, whatever it is, to try and cope, to try and feel whole, to try and feel clean, to try and deal with the problem inside of you that you can't be free of. There is something better. There is someone greater who can do what you never could, who can make you whole, who can give you a new way of life. Does anyone know His name? It's Jesus. "Look, I've come to do your will," and He cancels the first covenant to put the second into effect. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. We don't have to do it again and again. We don't have to bring up and work up an effort. We don't have to work ourselves into a lather here. We don't have to kill ourselves trying to make a life for us, because someone was killed for us to give us life. Jesus changes it all once for all time. Not only is the work gone, but also the worry. When I was a child and I first came to Christ, I felt very insecure about that. I kept thinking maybe he didn't hear me. Maybe I had done something else wrong in the meantime and I needed to be forgiven all over again, start back at ground zero. And I kept constantly feeling like I needed to do something to win his favor, his affection, his attention, until I finally realized it's done. It's done. Once for all time, it's done. I want to show you something now. I want you to pay attention to this. You think about all the things you've tried to do in your system, whatever your system is, whatever your way of life has been to try and cope and deal with. I want you to think about that list, all how much work that is. And I want you to look at the list now that they dealt with in the Old Testament. There was whole books written about the old system, about how they should deal with different sacrifices and what was proper and what was correct and all the laws and rules and regulations. And I'm going to show you one chapter. This was the Day of Atonement. This was the one big day that brought about, they thought, forgiveness and healing and cleansing. I want to show it to you. I want to show you this list of what they had to do on that day. Here we go. This is just one day. This is just one big celebration sacrifice. And you know what the first sentence is? If you get it wrong, you'll die. Look how long it is. This isn't even like one little step, then another. This is like some of these things take hours. You're killing animals like crazy. You're covered in blood. It's messy. It's gross. It smells. It stinks. It's ugly. Who wants to do this? And if you get it wrong, you die. This is just one chapter in a whole book devoted to rules and old law, old system, an old way just to feel... What's your system look like? How long is your list? Does it fit on one slide? Let's do a little congregational reading of it here. Can't even see it. It's so small. And it's all unnecessary now. It's all irrelevant. None of it needs to happen anymore. This is powerful. This is freeing. This is a weight lifted off your shoulders where suddenly you no longer have to do all that work anymore. What an incredible thing. Jesus changes and transforms so much of their life. And the list is gone. The list is done. Look at this, the next verse here. Under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after 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 day. You know, there's 365 in one year, right? And they did this for thousands of years, offering the same sacrifices again and again and again and again and again and again and again. Again and again and again and again, which can never take away sins. All that effort for nothing. All that old system for nothing. Nothing. You do and you do and you do. Yes, I said do because it all amounts to do. It amounts to nothing. It's junk. It's wasted energy. It's wasted time. It's pointless. And you keep doing it anyway. You keep trying to earn God's favor. You keep trying to keep his attention and his love and his affection. And it's irrelevant. It's not necessary. It's a waste of time. You don't need to do the list to earn God's love. You don't need to do the list so that you can be free. You don't need to do it to win his affection and get a gold star on your chart like maybe you grew up in Sunday school with. You don't need to do anything anymore. You don't need to go and bring your sacrifice day after day after day, again and again and again. It's done. Because when our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time, he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There were no chairs in the temple because they could never sit down. The priests never stopped. It was one sacrifice after another because they were never clean. They were never good enough. It never stopped. Ever. And then Jesus gets up and does it once and it's over. System gone, broken, done, finished. Why do you keep do when Jesus says it's done? It's done. There's nothing I have to do. Christ was enough. It doesn't need to happen again. He doesn't need to die again. He doesn't need to come back and do this again next year. It's done. When you think about all the stuff you've done wrong in your life that you can't get free of, he's stronger than it. He's more powerful than it. Whatever you've got, whatever dirt you've got inside of you, he's strong enough to clean it. However weak you feel, he's strong enough to make you able to stand again. Whatever burden is on your shoulders, he's strong enough to lift it off. Whatever pain you're feeling inside because of someone else's sin to you, he's strong enough to bring healing. Even in his death, his weakest moment, he's able to bring healing for us. By his wounds, as we sang this morning, by his wounds we're healed. So what is he able to do for us with his strength? His goodness. You don't have to do anymore. You don't have to do anymore. It's done. There's a sense of peace. Calm. Our Savior is good enough that he sits down. Job done. Now, if we were a different kind of church, there'd be someone saying, amen. Now it feels forced, but nice. Thanks for trying, anyway. Jesus has done something that solves the problem. See, what the author of Hebrews is telling us, you have a problem, you can't deal with it, but there's someone who can. And he's already come. He's already done everything necessary. You just have to put your faith in him. You just have to trust that he's enough. And that's it.
That's pretty awesome. That's pretty cool.
That's worth a steak dinner. Look at this next. I want to show you, this is Acts 15. This is going back into the history of the church. This is a huge moment where there's this conflict going on. Because up to this point, all the people of God are just Jewish. They're just Jewish. And that's like a cultural thing for them. They've got all these ways of celebrating. They've got all these activities they're supposed to do. They've got a long list. You saw the list. And they're doing all those things still, trying to like honor God in the midst of that. That's what they know. That's what they're used to. But then all of a sudden, something happens. And there's all these new people that start believing in Jesus. Huh, crazy. What's going on there? All these not Jewish people. Or we call them Gentiles. All these Gentiles just start like trusting in Jesus. And the Jewish people are like, well, I guess it's time for you to become a Jew so that you can follow God. You might as well, you know, come to our celebrations. You might as well learn our commandments. You might as well get circumcised. The whole deal. And the Gentiles are like, whoa, wait, what was that last one? What's going on here? And Paul and Barnabas say, wait, hold on, full stop. Something doesn't sound right here. Like, Jesus dealt with it. Like, that stuff is done. We don't need to do that anymore. So they go to Jerusalem, and there's this big council where basically just the church gathers together, and they start talking about this issue. Like, what do we do with these people who aren't already Jewish, who don't actually know these cultural ways, who don't know these commandments? Do they suddenly have to start doing them to follow Jesus? And they have this big conversation, and Peter gets up and says, why are you now challenging God? This is like not just a, you know, you're saying something that's a little off. You're saying, why are you challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? Saying, why are you asking new believers to start doing all that old stuff that we couldn't even do? Why are you expecting them to do something that we can't do and we've had thousands of years to practice? This is like expecting a toddler to be able to do their taxes. They can't do it. I can't do it. I can. I've actually done my taxes many times. CRA hasn't imprisoned me yet. Peter says, why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? We believe that we are all saved the same way, by the undeserved grace or generosity or gift of the Lord Jesus. It's not something we can do. It's something that has been done for us. It's not something we can do. It's something that was done for us. James gets up. James, the brother of Jesus. James is leading the church, and he says this, my judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. They look at all their history. They look at all the customs they have, and they realize, you know what? We can set it all down. But there's some of you are going to say, oh, there's a little more to the story than that, Gordon. You're leaving out some stuff. Okay, yes. There's like four things that they asked the Gentiles to do. Four things. I'm not going to get into the list right now, but before you get excited about that, here's what's going on. They're not giving them new commandments. They're not saying any of these four things are things that they need to do to be in a right relationship with God. Nope. Nope. They've said that salvation, that relationship with God, only happens because of Jesus. But they say there's four things we're going to ask you to do. It's just so we can get along with each other. It's just so that we respect each other's customs. That's it. And so there's a realization that the old system is done. Everything they knew and had relied upon, done. Not necessary. It's been dealt with. There's a freedom now. What a wonderful gift that we have. Church, we need to remember that it's done. You don't have any more work to do to be in a relationship with God. You just have to have faith in the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. So now I want to close just with these verses of Hebrews 10. This is the Lord speaking over us. This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and I will write them on their minds. In other words, I'm going to fill you with my Spirit, who will teach you and instruct you in my ways and give you power to live them out without being burdened by a list, but instead empowered by the living God within you. Then he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. What a wonderful thing for you to hear today. God forgot it when you came to him. Whatever you thought was too big to bring to him, guess what? He forgot it the moment you came and asked Christ for forgiveness. It's done. It's done. Some of you know what that's like to have someone hold that over you and keep reminding you of what you did wrong, and you're that kind of person who does that kind of bad thing, and that's not Jesus. There's no more word of condemnation hanging over you anymore. And what does Jesus say as he dies on the cross? It is finished. It's finished. We're not going to bring this up anymore. Your sin has been dealt with. You could never do it on your own. But are you trusting in Christ to do it for you? Are you trusting that Christ has done it already for you? And that there's nothing more you need to do but have faith in him? Because when sins have been forgiven, there is no need to offer any more sacrifices. And one tiny postscript. You're still going to do a lot of things, but it's not to earn God's favor anymore. You're going to do them because you love Him. You're going to do them because you feel empowered, inspired by the Spirit within you to do things that are new and transforming you in your experience. There's going to be a new system, but you're not doing a checklist anymore. You're just doing life with God. Because you're already in relationship with Him when you have faith. Friends, that's beautiful. That's good. There's a freedom here. There's a joy here. And I hope you've experienced it. And if you've never put your trust, you've never had faith in Jesus, why not do that today? Why go another day with that monkey on your back? Why go another day with that yoke holding you down, with your hands full of something you can't carry? Why do that anymore? You don't have to do. It's been done. But if you've been drifting, and you're just finding yourself doing, still back in that old way, that nostalgia for the old system, stop it. Fix your eyes on Jesus and remember that by His grace, by His generosity to us, it's done. Don't live under the burden of the old system, the old way, the work, the effort, the striving. He sat down. He sat down. It's done. Can you trust in one who sits down because it's over? Who's strong enough to save? If you haven't done that, do it today. And if you've drifted, come back and have a seat. Jesus, we thank You for Your life. We thank You that in Your death You make us whole and new, and You change what's necessary for us to do. In fact, we don't have to do anything anymore because You've done it. Help us to trust You for our lives, to know Your goodness, the fullness of everything You have for us, to be secure and confident in that, to be able to boldly come into Your throne room because of the confidence we have in what You've accomplished. Once and for all. May those here who have never put their trust in You, trust You today. Not wait another moment to deal with that burden they've been carrying. And for those who picked up that weight that they never had to carry in the first place, may they put it back down again at Your feet and surrender it to You and trust in You that what You have done, what You have said is enough. May we live with You, for You, and to make Your name known in all the world. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.